Okay, anybody else tonight? Other testimonies? All right. Well, thank you, Pearl and Joseph, for your help. And you can just, here, why don't you give me that microphone, and I'll put it up here, so just in case somebody gets any ideas. All right. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 363, and we're going to be singing Dare to Be a David once again, 363, because we're going to be learning about David again tonight. So 363, I know it says Daniel, but we're going to sing Dare to Be a David. All right, so let's all stand. Dare to Be a David. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 tonight. We started this last Sunday night. It's 1 Samuel 17. And in this section, David is on the rise. Saul had been rejected as king, and David had been anointed. And we learned last week about the great fear in Israel that was going on at this time because of Goliath and his taunting. But we also saw that God was working in a family in Bethlehem that was David's family. And David's father, Jesse, sent David to visit his brothers in battle. And while he was there, David noticed this taunting that was going on by Goliath, and he became outraged that somebody would defy the armies of the living God. His brothers gave him a hard time, but they could not see what was really motivating him. And so we're going to pick it up here in verse 30 and finish out this chapter here tonight. So notice 1 Samuel 17, verse 30. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. What we see here in verses 30 to 40, we see this youth warrior. We see the youth warrior. We notice the youth's experience. David volunteers, and Saul, first thing he questions is David's age, his youth. You're but a youth. How old was David? Hard to say how exactly old he was. And we know that he became king at age 30. And so a number of years went by, before he actually was functioning as king. So he's a young man. And he tells Saul about his experience nonetheless. He had killed a lion and a bear while keeping sheep, apparently by hand. That would be quite an accomplishment if you think about it. And he had confidence because of those experiences, and he's trusting the Lord to deliver him ultimately. Verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You know, even today, there may be some who would doubt God because of youthfulness. And, you know, youth does have its problems. We can all admit that. It has its strengths and weaknesses. But this passage in the Bible shows us that God is able to use a youth in a great way. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. Youthfulness can be a tool in the hand of God. And so I think as young people look at this passage, they should be encouraged to trust the Lord to be able to use them, even as youths. In spite of its disadvantages, which it does have, God is still able to use young people. Would say along with that too, God is able to use the aged as well. We can look at the aged people, and aged people have some disadvantages. They have some strengths, right? They have some weaknesses as well. Same is true for the aged. They have some strengths and weaknesses. But God can use people of whatever age. And he may do something that seems to be the most unnatural and unlikely thing in order to glorify himself in a greater way. And that's what he did here. This is just a youth. Here's Goliath. He's a man of war from his youth. David's been in the field caring for sheep. And yet we see that God uses him. We also see here that God may use our experiences, even as young people, to build our confidence in God. It may not be killing wild animals, although probably some of you have done some of that, killing some wild animals. It may be taking care of wild children. Some of you have done some of that in your lives as well. And you see how God was able to help you with that. And that should be something that is an encouragement for you, for us. Even a young person can experience God's help in their everyday lives. And perhaps what we need to do is look back on our experiences and see the ways that that we saw God's deliverance. It may not be killing a lion and a bear, maybe some other dangerous situation. And you look back and you see how God saved you, God helped you. And that should be an encouragement. That's what it was for David here. God used his experiences to build trust in the Lord. And now he's at this next experience, and he's ready to trust the Lord with that. And then notice the youth's weapons here. Saul tries to give David armor. Nothing wrong with armor and a sword. David would later use those things. But it wasn't the time for it. He refuses them because he hasn't proved them or tested them. And so instead, he takes his staff and five stones out of the brook. Evidently, you know, he had proved that. Evidently, when he was a shepherd, he had been able to test his sling and become accurate with that. But the point is, it's not about the tools, the weapons, the armor, the technology. David here, he realizes that he can't be a copy of Saul and even a copy of a soldier in Saul's army. He's not called to do that at that time. We can be used by God using these simple things that we are familiar with. And we see here again and again in the Bible and in this passage that God is not bound to the usual weapons that people are trusting in. God does not need those. So we see the youthful warrior here. And then next, notice the approach to the battle here, verses 41 to 46. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Notice the approach. We have two approaches. First, Goliath's approach to battle. What does he do? He comes out and he disdains David, verse 42. He despises him, disrespects him. He looks at this boy and he notices his youthful looks, his fair countenance, verse 42 says. Interesting word there for fair. It's a word that can refer to a woman's beauty, but also cows. Did you know cows are beautiful? Evidently they are in Pharaoh's dream. We have some beautiful cows that come up out of the river. Same word is used there. But also men like Absalom. Talks about there was none so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. This is the same word. Goliath looks at David and he sees this young man, this man with a fair appearance, and he just disdains that. He ridicules that. And notice his boasting. He boasts what he's going to do to David. He's going to give his flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He boasts of his success. He curses David by his gods. You know, as we think about the enemies of God today, we should be reminded and not surprised when the enemies of God boast. They boast against God's people, and they boast against they boast of their own success. And there are more and more people even today who are speaking arrogant things against God and his people, and they're just like Goliath, defying God. They are defying the words of the living God. But then notice David's approach to battle. What does he do? How does he approach this battle? Well, he comes in the name of the Lord of hosts, verse 45. In other words, in God's authority and power, he comes trusting God. He depends on God for victory, verse 46. He says, This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. He's not boasting of what he's going to do. He is depending on what God will do. And notice how he gives glory to the Lord. as he approaches this battle. His motives here. Why is he doing this? First one is at the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, that word know in the Bible is often a word that refers to experiential knowledge, relational knowledge. Isaiah, the beginning of Isaiah, wrote, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." Even at that time, Isaiah said, these people don't know God. They don't really know God experientially. But David was doing what he did, not to boast of his own abilities, but for all the earth to know that there's a God in Israel. And when you look at all the earth today, I think you'd have to admit that there's a need for that. There's a need for all the earth to know that there is a God in Israel. And that should be our desire in all that we do, whether it's working on our property or jobs or raising kids or going to the doctor or anything. We should live in such a way that all the earth would know that there's a God. This is why we live. But then notice his second purpose here in verse 47. This is his motive. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David here had a burden for this assembly, the people of God, that they would come to know God in a greater way, to know God experientially here through this battle. That this is how the Lord works, not with sword or spear. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord doesn't need physical weapons. The whole battle is his. He controls the outcome. But notice here how David is motivated by the needs of God's people. He has a burden for all the earth, but he has a burden also for the people of God. And we should also think about the needs of God's people. David was not merely out to defeat the enemy. He wanted to build up God's people. And God's people today still need to know that God does not need weapons. God does not need the weapons that most people depend upon. God does not save by lots of money or by health care even or by education or any of the other things that people really are depending upon today. God does not need those things. The battle is the Lord's. And our burden should be that God's people would come to learn that and come to know that about God and to live that out, to come to a place where they're living this way, that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's. This was David's burden. God's people need to trust in him and his word more than the resources that are depended upon by most of the world. And then we come to the victory that was granted from the Lord, verses 48 through 54. Look at verse 48. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his hand therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaarim, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, to the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." The victory from the Lord. We see here clearly how this came from the Lord. Notice here how the Lord brought Goliath down. David slung this stone, as it says, and hit Goliath in the forehead. And notice how he falls. Verse 49, he fell upon his face to the earth. Is that how you picture Goliath falling? He fell upon his face to the earth. Maybe that's not what we might expect. Perhaps it shows that this was a way that God intervened and caused this giant to come down. I would kind of think that if he got hit in the forehead, he'd fall back. But he got hit in the forehead, he falls face first down. You remember there was another something that fell face first. Remember the idol of Dagon there in 1 Samuel 6? That idol fell face first in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And then we notice how the Lord used the enemy's own sword against him. David had no sword. He had no sword. This giant fell to the earth. How's he going to finish him off? Well, he takes Goliath's own sword and he finishes him off. He uses the enemy's own sword against him. And then we see how the Lord brought David to Saul's court again. And say, well, I thought David was already known in Saul's court. He had played music for Saul. And, you know, it may have been several years since David had done that. And perhaps David had grown. Maybe he was a younger boy at that time. And now some years have gone by. He was an older boy. And, you know, think about how, a teenager can really change from 12 years old to 18 years old. You know, they look totally different in that short period of time. And so, you know, it could be that Saul just didn't recognize David at all. And so he finds out who he is and he wants to know more about him. Perhaps, are there any more like him? And so he's checking him out. But we see the victory here that's from the Lord. We see David stepping out in faith. It's a shame that there weren't, you know, at least 10. Could there be at least 10 that would have joined David in stepping out and facing Goliath? Could there have been 10 or 20 even? But no, it was just one. One young boy. He was willing to put his life on the line to completely trust the Lord and face the enemy of God for the glory of God. And then we see God giving the victory in battle. God clearly gave that victory. The battle is the Lord's. You know, there's another battle going on today. It's a battle for the hearts of people. It's a battle for the souls of men. And we also know that in that battle, God alone wins the victory. The Apostle Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that victory has been won by the Lord through Jesus Christ already. And in the spiritual battles that we face, our complete confidence should be in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what David had as he faced Goliath. He was completely confident in the Lord, trusting in Him and willing to put himself forward, even though nobody else did. And the Lord helped him because he was relying completely on the Lord and nothing else. And so many tremendous lessons in this chapter. But the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord does not need human weapons. He can use them if He chooses to. He doesn't need them at all. The battle is the Lord's. And He can control the outcome whatever he may choose. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are God and you do not need the things that human beings think that they need to win. We thank you that you've given victory through Jesus Christ already through his death on the cross. But Lord, we know that we are in a battle. We are in a conflict. And we pray that our complete confidence would be in you as David's faith was in you. We pray that our motives would be as David's motives were, to help the people of God, to show the world that there is a God in Israel. Lord, we see all around us the enemy defying you, defying the people of God, defying your word. And we know that you care about this, and help us to care about it as well. And help us to be willing to do what you would have us to do, to serve you in any way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 414. And we'll sing, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" 414, let's all stand as we sing. Number 414.